Are you looking at your plan for the future on your farm in these times? Maybe you should. Bridget Finke is with us. Bridget, an attorney with Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area. And Bridget, we always talk about, you know, the status quo. We put the plan together and maybe it stays there. But I think now in these times we're looking at where prices aren't good and we're making changes to the operation. Maybe we didn't anticipate changing. Maybe we're selling some land. Maybe we're getting out of the dairy business or doing something like that. How important is it to keep this plan updated based on things that are happening that maybe we didn't plan when we put this original document together?
Yeah, we don't write those plans on stone tablets for a reason, because we always want that ability to adjust and change to change circumstances. And when people come in and put together a plan in the first place, I always encourage that, you know, on the estate planning side, we pull those out every 3 to 5 years and say, you know, does this still make sense?
But should we wait 3 to 5 years? Because between that period of time, like now, who expected tariffs and lower milk prices to hang on?
Or any major life event. And, you know, sometimes we talk there about deaths and births and inheritances, but a significant change in the nature or scope of your farm enterprise obviously is a major life event, you know, in more ways mm-hmm. than one. And so anytime we make a big change, whether it's, you know, we're switching from dairy to beef, or, you know, we liquidated or rearranged some maybe non-productive real estate to help fund our ongoing dairy operation, whatever that turn may be, it's a good time to go back and take the temperature of, you know, your estate plan and your farm succession plan to see how does this work, how does this line up. Or even while you're in the process of making those decisions, considering now how does this fit and work with the next generation? Because, you know, if you've been dairy and your tagged successor, who's now 16, is a dairyman, and now you're going to sell the cows and switch to beef, well, hey, do you still have a successor now? So, you know, just like anything with your farm where, you know, one change, a change in your ration advisor or a change in your feed quality can have ripple effects on your operation. It's the same thing when you come to those legal documents.
As we look at these documents and, okay, we're thinking about making a change in the operation. Let's just say we're going to sell the dairy cows. Should we go at it then or to change that document, or should we wait until the final decision is made and then change the document, or as we are in the anticipation stage, see what kind of opportunities, challenges may be there as far as tax liability and things like that?
Well, I will tell you that the tax advisors, and remember, you know, you and I talk a lot about taxes, but mm-hmm. I know enough tax to be dangerous. I'm not a tax preparer. And that's why I always encourage farmers to have, you know, a professional team. Everybody's looking at things from a little different perspective, and it's great when we can all talk, brainstorm, and come up with the right mm-hmm. solution together. So certainly tax advisors do not like it when you make the phone call and say, hey, We sold the herd last month. Now what? You know?
Okay. That answers that question. Keep everybody involved as you're just starting to think about change.
Well, and kick those ideas around, because, you know, look, your tax advisor, your lawyer, your banker, they've seen liquidations and changes in farms of hundreds or thousands of farms. Your farm, you may do it once.
Mm-hmm.
And so why wouldn't you want the benefit of their experience and ideas? I mean, that's always the thing. I got some questions last week from a client on something involving a court thing. And, you know, I practice happy law. I try to stay out of court.
There you go.
And so, man, you know, I phoned up some resources of mine who focus on that, because I don't know what I don't know. And that's where I would say, you know, sometimes when you get in tough times, the tendency is we put our head in the sand, we put our head down, we just get one foot in front of the other and, you know, get the animals fed every day, and that's all we deal with. But really, that's the time to pull on your resources for ideas and options for you of ways of moving forward.
But as we look then, just as we mentioned, taxes, as mm-hmm. they always come to the front of mind, this is going to also change the value of that estate going forward, because now there are no dairy cattle in there.
Correct.
So what about restructuring that as far as if Susie was going to get the land and Johnny was going to get the dairy operation. I mean, now you got to change the whole thing again.
Sure, you got to reconsider that balance, you know, if you're doing kind of that asset by asset sort of planning. And that's why I do a lot of talking with folks. You know, it's not an uncommon thing for people to come in and say, well, you know, Susie's who's running the farm gets the farm, and Johnny, who went to town, is going to get the cash. What happens when that picture changes on one side or the other? And so sometimes we've looked at things as a percentage of the whole, and so we're not worried about that. Or, hey, sometimes we've got Susie gets the farm. You're like, I'm switching the genders on you for a change.
That works.
Yeah. Susie gets the farm contingent on paying Johnny X number of dollars. Well, that X number of dollars probably was set based on what the value of that operation was with the dairy herd. And so if there's $1 million of cattle out of the pot now, yeah, maybe that number that Susie's paying Johnny should be adjusted as well. So just never a bad idea when you're making a change. And it may just be as simple, like I said, of selling that hunk of non-productive ground. Well, if that was supposed to fund some of the inheritance for the non-farm kids, we better retake the temperature of that plan.
You said right off the bat that these plans should be revisited every 3 to 5 years. What kind of things should you be looking to revisit as far as the plan is concerned? Because, you know, for the most part, an operation usually isn't going to change every 3 to 5 years that much. But what kind of things should you look at?
Well, the big bullet points, think of all those hard decisions you made the first time around. Look at them again and see if it still makes sense. You know, who have we picked to stand in our shoes to make decisions for us if we're not able? And a span of 5 years when your kids are going from, you know, either 18 to 23 or from 23 to 28 can make a big difference that, you know, we didn't think about that. You know, if the kid who was out milking the cows now, you know, moved to Canada or, you know, those kind of roles.
Or and they may have met a spouse that has some ideas that's changing our son or daughter's mind on a lot of things. And
talk about those wicked in-laws again, Bob.
Well, no, but I mean, it's out there, and I know of operations that come to mind that have had that. Well, the kids, you know, their spouse wants nothing to do with it. They want to change, and so it is important, I guess, every 3 to 5 years.
And time has a way of passing in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And so, and you don't often think in the moment when, you know, it's that in-law that's causing trouble or that new baby is born. You're focused on that family side of things, and you're not thinking business. And you know, probably your first call when you get your new grandbaby isn't to your lawyer to say, hey, I have got a new grandbaby. Occasionally is, and I like that. I like baby pictures. It's all good. It is, so that's, you know, having that review schedule, or even, hey, when you go into your annual tax appointment with your accountant to do your tax planning, think about that, your legal plan too, and make that your excuse to pull that back out and say, hey, is this a year we should be touching base with our lawyer as well as our accountant?
Are we still having that metal block, I guess, that I did that, I've got that done? And so I don't have to worry about that now until I'm retired. We think we'll put it together when we're in our 50s, and I'm not going to quit till I'm in my 70s, so I'm not going to look at it. I don't need to. Are we getting over that now so that we are updating these things?
I think it's getting better. And that said, I, you know, am probating a will right now from the 1970s, and, you know, that's the same decade I was born in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's certainly those. And look, a lot of times you pull them out, and they are perfectly fine, and there's no reason to update. And, you know, at least for me, I'm not going to recreate the wheel if what you have is right. But, man, there's been a lot of tax changes and a lot of things that have happened even in the last 5 years.
Every operation is different.
For sure.
All right. How do we get a hold of you?
You can give us a call at 715-688-4045 or check us out online at WisconsinFarmLaw.com.
Very good. Bridget Finke with us, Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area. Again, that number, 715-688-4045.